story this morning, the contrast, what we're going to be talking about in this message this morning. I was born in California and in a suburb of Los Angeles. We lived really close to L.A. And so, obviously, our favorite basketball team, you could probably guess it, it was Los Angeles Lakers. Probably didn't take a lot to figure that one out. We loved Magic Johnson. We loved Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I loved watching them play back during that time. Now, when we moved, we became, you know, to Oregon, we became Blazers fans. But at this point, we loved this team. We loved the L.A. Lakers. And along with that, we were quite fond, I wouldn't say loved, but we were quite fond of the coach, Pat Riley, who was coaching the L.A. Lakers at the time that we were living in California. And Pat Riley was a winner. He led a fantastic team. He was an overcomer. You know, any odds they faced, they worked through it and they overcame it. And Pat said this. He had this quote that I read recently. He said, "If you have a positive attitude and constantly strive to give your best effort, eventually you will overcome your immediate problems and find that you are ready for greater challenges." I love his positive attitude. I really appreciate the winning positive attitude. And I believe that the Christian life is supposed to be a Christian life. I believe that we need to have that same kind of positive attitude, full of faith when it comes to being a believer in Jesus Christ. And what Pat said was true of most of the problems and challenges that we face in life. However, there are times that we face certain challenges, certain problems that I believe we need God's help to boost our resolve to overcome those problems and those challenges in our lives. So while I appreciate the quote from Pat Riley, I appreciate his winning attitude, I believe we need God's strength to be overcomers over our problems and challenges. Today we will consider what it means to deny Christ and how important it is to overcome the temptation to deny Jesus, and by whose power, and this is probably the most important thing for you to understand this morning, by whose power we are overcomers. That's the most important thing that we want to look at this morning. Number one, first, let's look at a story of one who denied Jesus. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22, verse 54. Having arrested him, that's Jesus, we're talking about arresting Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. Peter followed at a distance, verse 55. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain serving girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." Verse 57. But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I don't know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." I love the exclamation mark. He's adamant. "I do not know what you are saying." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. So here's the story of Jesus has been arrested. Actually, before Jesus even went to the ground, he had told Peter this would happen. He had foretold him, "You're going to deny me." And then Peter was adamant, "No, I'm not going to deny you. This isn't going to happen, Lord." But here Jesus has been arrested, and Peter denies Jesus not once, not twice, but three times in this passage. He denies Jesus. Peter denied Jesus. Why? Why did Peter deny Jesus? Why would he do it? Here's someone who loved Jesus. Why would he deny him? Well, the best guess that I can see here, the text doesn't come out and say, but the best guess is here. Peter was afraid. He was afraid of what would happen. I mean, think of what is going on here. Jesus has been arrested. His Lord, Savior, Master, the one he followed, has been arrested. And if that's happened to Jesus, what's going to happen to Peter? I mean, I can just picture what is going through Peter's mind at this point. Could that be me? Could that have been me? Could that have been you? Oh, I could not have denied Jesus. Absolutely not. That would never happen. I would not denied Jesus. I'm so firm in my faith that I would not have been the one who said, no, I don't know Jesus. I had nothing to do with him. That wouldn't be me. Peter said the same thing. Peter told Jesus, no, that's not me. It's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to be the one that denies you, Lord. Jesus says, you're going to deny me. And Peter denied the fact that he would deny Jesus. Yet, we do deny him. We do deny him. How? How do we deny him? I'm not denying Jesus. How do I deny him? Well, we deny him. Sometimes we deny him access to our lives. We don't allow him into our life. We don't allow him to take over and take full lordship of our life. We don't give him first place all the time. We kind of categorize. We say, Lord, this is my life. This is part of my life. And now this is the part that you can have. This is the part of my heart that you can have. We don't always allow Jesus to come in and fully change our hearts. You know, sometimes we give him part of our heart, but we don't give him all of, we don't allow him to totally change and transform our hearts, and therefore changing and transform our lives. And speaking of our lives, sometimes we deny him the ability to change our lifestyle. Again, we categorize. We say, okay, this is my Christian life. This is what I'm like at church. This is how I'm like when I'm around my Christian friends. But when I'm around other people, I behave differently. When I'm at work, I behave differently. We categorize. We don't allow for Jesus to take full lordship and full control over our lifestyle. For some, they refuse to receive eternal life. They deny Jesus the ability to come into their heart and receive him as their Lord and Savior. And so they deny Jesus. It's not always... For Christians, it's not always an outright denial of Christ. We're not outright deniers of Jesus. We're not saying, Lord, I don't know you. That's not us. We love Jesus. We wouldn't be here if we didn't love Jesus. But we have, you know, we've accepted his salvation, and we attempt to live faithfully for him. Yet, like Peter, it is easy to struggle. Even as a longtime believer, it's easy to struggle with doubt. It's easy to struggle with fears. No, we're not outright deniers of Jesus, but we do struggle. Consider Peter. Consider Peter here in this passage of Scripture. Consider what the girl said to him. Said again, it's in verse 56. Actually, yes, in verse 56. This man also was with him. This man was with him. Peter was with Jesus. This is a true statement. This girl did not lie about who Peter was. Peter was with Jesus. He knew Jesus. He went where Jesus went. He walked where Jesus walked. He heard Jesus. He was a part of those conversations that Jesus had with the disciples. He knew Jesus. For 3 years, Peter knew Jesus and walked with him and talked with him, ate with him. Had meals with Jesus, had potlucks with Jesus. He knew Jesus. Long conversations. Imagine being there. Man, that would be fantastic. Be a part of those long, wonderful conversations with Jesus where you could just pick Jesus' brain and hear what he has to say. It would be wonderful to be here. And Peter had that. We wish we knew Jesus like that. I'm happy to know Jesus in my heart. I'm happy to know him that I can pray and experience a relationship with him. We can be with Jesus through prayer. But yet here Peter knew Jesus on a very intimate personal level. He was with him. Not only was with him, but your passage here says he was one of them. In verse 58, you are one of them. Again, very true statement. This person is telling the truth. Honesty here. Peter was one of them. He was a follower. He was a disciple of Jesus. He wasn't just somebody that was with Jesus. He believed in Jesus. He believed in what Jesus represented. He believed that he was. Peter was the one that said, you are the Christ. So he believed in Jesus. He believed that he was the Messiah, the one that was, the Bible spoke about coming. He spoke Jesus' words. He spoke about Jesus. And spoke what Jesus spoke. Peter was not only a follower of Jesus, he was one of them. He was one of them. He had power. You know, Jesus gave the apostles power and authority to cast out. Well, Peter was one of those people that was given power and authority. He knew that part of what it meant to be a believer of Jesus. Why would Peter deny Jesus, someone who walked with Jesus, someone who believed so much in Jesus, and why would he deny Jesus? Well, again, consider the situation. Here, Jesus has been arrested. Can you imagine the one who had all authority and all power, the one that gave you authority and power, the one that you follow was arrested? What's going to happen to you? I can just picture the fear that Peter is just wrestling with right there. Friends, this is a warning to all believers. This is a warning to all Christians, to all people. Picture the man who's trying to impress a woman. Picture this man who, in his efforts to really impress this woman, you know, he cannot stand romance movies. Absolutely can't, you know, he can't hardly stomach them. And yet, this woman he's trying to impress wants to watch a romance movie. And suddenly, this man is suddenly a lover of Sleepless in Seattle. And Tom Hanks is one of his favorite actors now, all of a sudden. Just absolutely, you know, but you can picture this and how easy it is. Man, given the right conditions, any of us, any person, can find it real easy to deny something that's true. Or to give in to something that they know that they shouldn't be given into. We can easily recognize it. We can easily recognize that temptation comes to all. We all face temptations. Every one of us battles with temptations. When we give in to temptations, when we give in to those things that are tempting us, we are in essence putting aside God's command and ignoring the whispers of the Spirit in our heart saying, don't give in to this. And so in essence, when we face these temptations and give in, we are on a level, however minute, we are denying God's word and denying God. We can easily recognize that tragedy comes to all. We all face bad things happen to all of us. Many people have denied their spiritual lives, have denied their belief in Christ because of a tragedy that happens in their life. And because that tragedy happens, they become bitter, they become angry because they don't understand how a God who is so perfect love could have allowed that to happen. And so when the tragedy comes, they give in to that temptation, they give in to that tragedy, and they begin to deny that spiritual life that they once had or that they could have had. You know, these things don't challenge God's love, but sometimes we feel like that anyways. We can easily recognize that troubles come to all. There are Christ deniers all around every corner who would love to convince us that Jesus isn't real, who would love to lead us away from that faith in Christ. We all face the same kind of people. Am I denying Jesus today? No, maybe not in big ways, but you can ask yourself that question. Am I denying Jesus in some way, fashion, form, some corner of my heart that I haven't allowed God to truly have? I do not want to leave you feeling like it is hopeless. It's not hopeless. There is a powerful, powerful source to strengthen and resolve your faith in Christ today. Number two. The answer to help us to not deny Jesus is Jesus. The answer to help us not deny Jesus is Jesus. Brother, that sounds a little redundant. It sounds like circular reasoning. But let's take a look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Now let's take a look at some of the circular reasoning here. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him, who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So here in the context, John is talking about loving God. He's talking about loving others. He's talking about that God is love. So within the context of the passage, we're seeing how God loves us and how we love others and how we have that love of God and how important that love is. And John writes that if you love God, you will keep his word. You'll keep his commandments. You will keep his teachings. You'll keep his word. Following God's word can be tough. Not always the easiest thing to do, especially if you're a new believer and you're starting down that path. You haven't developed those healthy habits of following God's word. Following God's word can be tough, especially when you're tempted to do otherwise. If you are born again, this passage says, you are an overcomer. If you are born again, you are an overcomer. One who is born of God is one who has not denied Jesus. One who is born of God but has received him as Lord and Savior. And if you do those things, this passage says, you are an overcomer. So friends, here today, I'm going to tell you, you are an overcomer. I mean, that's what the Bible says. You believe in Jesus. You've accepted his teachings. You've accepted his word. You've received him as Lord and Savior. What does the Bible say? You are an overcomer. An overcomer is one who experiences God's love. That's what this passage is dealing with. The love of God. Knowing the love of God. If you are an overcomer today, and you are one that experiences the love of God. You know the love of God. He or she is one who keeps God's word faithfully. If you are an overcomer, you are keeping God's word faithfully, trying to walk according to his word. He or she is one who overcomes the temptation of sin in his or her life. So if you're a believer in God, you are an overcomer. You are one that is overcoming that temptation to sin. Through Jesus Christ, through your faith in Christ, you're overcoming temptation to sin in your life. He or she is one who keeps Jesus in his or her heart. You are an overcomer today. You are one that keeps Jesus in your heart. The victory to overcome this passage said is your faith. That's what my Bible I just read here just a minute ago. The victory to you being an overcomer is your faith. By having faith in God, it is God who is with you. It is God who is with you in those times that you are struggling with something you're trying to overcome. It is God who is right there with you. It is God who strengthens your resolve. It is God who loves you and pours his love into you. It is God who convicts your heart. You are an overcomer today. You can put your faith in God, and God will help you through whatever temptation, through whatever trouble, through whatever turmoil that has affected your life. You are an overcomer through Jesus Christ. Satan wants to thwart you. He who overcomes the world is Satan wants to thwart you. Satan wants you to deny Jesus Christ. He would love nothing better for you to decide that Jesus is not real and that he's not in your heart. Satan would want you to doubt him. Satan would want you to fail. Satan does not want you to have the victory. He does not want you to be an overcomer. He doesn't want you to run the race and finish the race strong. The passage says, you overcome the world. The world represents those and with what means those have to draw you away from Christ. When we talk about the world, we're talking about that which is opposed to God's will for your life. We know that the word world is talking about the world, but what it means in this passage here and throughout the scripture, it generally means something that is opposed to the will of God in your life. So what the world is represented here are these attempts by Satan to draw you away from Jesus, to draw you away from God's world. What the world here is represented by is attempts to convince you that the Bible isn't truth, but rather evolution is truth, or some other religion is truth. What the world is represented by here is temptation to sin, temptation to do that which you know is not according to God's word, temptation to disobey God's teaching. What the world is represented by here is selfishness, our own desires above God's desires, our needs above what God wants for our lives, our wants above what God wants for our lives. Speaking of selfishness, I've been thinking a lot about how we guard our time. If things interfere with our personal time, we tend to reject those things because they interfere with our personal time. Here's a question for you to reflect on. How would God have me to use my time? How would God have me to use my time? You are an overcomer. If we trust in God, we are an overcomer. If we put our faith in God, we are an overcomer. If we keep having faith in God and keep running that race, we've already won. We are overcomers through Jesus Christ. Picture this woman. We're going to call her Sally. Sally was being pressured to go to a party, and she knew that this party had drugs and alcohol. But her coworkers were going to this party, and so she wanted to impress her coworkers. She didn't really want to go to this party, but she wanted to impress her coworkers. She didn't have a lot of time to decide, so Sally is almost tempted to say yes, almost tempted to go to this party, but instead what she does, she goes and she prays. And in her prayer closet, she suddenly feels a surge of strength to hold to her conviction and decides not to go to the party. That's just a story of a woman, but it's true of all of our lives. We make so many split-second decisions, so many split-second decisions without ever consulting God, without ever going to prayer and seeking God's will for our lives. We think if we just sort of look up, you're in the moment, you're trying to make a split-second decision, we think if we just look up and acknowledge God and just realize for a second that God is there, that will be good enough. But friends, there is no substitute, absolutely no substitute for prayer, for genuine prayer, for seeking God's face, seeking God's counsel. It is in prayer that we find the strength to hold to our resolve. It's in that prayer closet that we find that strength. It is always good to see real examples of those who are overcomers, so I want to give you the best example of them all. Number three, who is our greatest example of an overcomer? If you were to guess who I was going to talk about, who would it be? It would be Jesus. Consider Jesus. Luke chapter 22. We were just in Luke, and the Gospels, there's so many examples where you could go into different Gospels and look at the same story, and this is one of those. Luke chapter 22, verse 66 through 71. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him, talking about Jesus, into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go." Jesus is pretty shrewd. He's pretty smart. He knows what's going on here. "Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" And so he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." He confirmed their position, confirmed their belief there. And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." You see, Jesus was arrested. It was why Peter was following him around and why the whole incident with him denying Christ even happened. Jesus was arrested, and now he's facing the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin. Jesus could have helped himself. He's being questioned, and I know he knew what they were wanting to hear or not wanting to hear. Jesus knew that. Jesus could have helped himself by telling them what they wanted to hear. Jesus could have avoided the whole situation or gotten into less trouble with them at least. He could have gotten out through all of that. I mean, if he just told them what they wanted to hear. Ask yourself this question. Am I ever tempted to tell people what I think they want to hear so I don't offend them? The question you can ask yourself in your heart today is, so easy to fall into that trap. It's so easy to fall into that situation where you're tempted to just tell, maybe not to outright lie, but to omit something, or to tell it, just tweak it just enough so that you tell them what they think they want to hear, what you think they want to hear. That's an easy trap to fall into. And Jesus knew who he was. He knew exactly who he was. It's like me denying I'm Paul Pedersen. I know who I am. And Jesus knew who he was. He knew that he was the Messiah. He knew he was the anointed one to come. He knew he was the Son of God. Jesus knew exactly who he was. Given the right circumstances, I think any person might be willing to say things to help the situation. If you're given the right circumstances. Luke does not really give us enough information here, but the other Gospels tell us that Jesus was silent, that he didn't answer their accusations. He wouldn't give them the time of the day. Yet we read that Jesus responded to, what he responded to. Jesus declared himself to be the Messiah, to be the one that they were waiting for, looking for, the anointed one to come, their Messiah, the Christ. Jesus also declared that he was the Son of God. And friends, in the minds of those people in the synagogue, in the minds of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council there, that was a death sentence for Jesus. He declared himself to be the Messiah, and that was bad enough, but he declared himself to be the Son of God, and that was heresy in their minds. He wrote the death sentence right there. Jesus could have avoided it all. Good of just told them what they wanted to hear, but no, Jesus told them exactly the truth. He is the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus experienced humanity, and I understand that to mean that he was well aware of the humiliation and the pain that he would suffer and endure. He knew what was coming as a result of this. He knew the pain he was going to go through. Yet Jesus overcame his own fear of that pain and his own fear of that humiliation. Jesus overcame the fear of those that were accusing him and declared himself to be the Son of God. Jesus was the Son of God with all authority and power. Yet we read in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, that God had anointed him with the Holy Spirit. That the Father had anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power, and that, your Bible say, God was with him. I speculate that while Jesus was a man on the earth, that Jesus depended on the Father. Yeah, he was the Son of God, all authority, all power. He could have called the angels down. Yeah, I speculate that Jesus, while he was on the earth, depended on the Father to help him, and to empower him. And here Jesus facing the horrors, knowing what was coming, knowing the pain that he would endure, knowing the suffering that he would have to deal with. And here he is being accused. In my mind, I envision Jesus relying on the Father to help him to say what needed to be said. We need that same help today. We need that same help today. To do what needs to be done, to say what needs to be said, to live the way God wants us to live, to not deny him that part of our heart. Friends, you are an overcomer. You are an overcomer. You are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You received him as Lord and Savior. You are, the Bible says, you are an overcomer. Thinking of Peter again, ultimately Peter was an overcomer too. He went on to establish, or help establish with the other apostles, the Christianity, the churches that were there. He helped to establish those, and ultimately Peter went on to his own death because of his faith in Jesus Christ. He was a martyr. Friends, the Lord's Supper is coming soon. And we are looking, over the next couple of weeks here, we are looking at Jesus and who Jesus was. And here Jesus is an overcomer, an example in our lives. As we look towards the price that Jesus paid on the cross for us, we will consider what Jesus means in our own hearts. Let's not deny him our hearts. Let's give him every bit of it. Let's not deny him even a piece of it. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid the price for us, and we pay such a small price in return. As Scripture says, let's count the cost. Let's take up our cross